You may be seated again. What a pleasure it is to be back here at St. Augustine's in Wiesbaden for this wonderful occasion of confirmation of Colin and to be able to preach and celebrate among you once again. So let us begin. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Gospel today starts out with a shocking story. And you've heard it all before, I think. But nevertheless, coming back to it, it's always hard to hear. Jesus meets a Gentile woman, and he insults her. Now, what's he doing in Tyre? We're told that Jesus wanted to go away where no one would know where he was. So he left Israel into the Gentile land, which had been originally colonized by the Phoenicians. And it's today in Lebanon. The city of Tyre still exists. But this was enemy territory. The Phoenicians had supported the war against the Jewish people under the Maccabees. You'll remember that story. That's another time, another sermon. But like all celebrities, Jesus wanted to get away where no one would think he would be. And this seemed like a good place. And along comes this woman that Mark calls a Syro-Phoenician woman. Matthew calls her a Canaanite. In either case, it's a derogatory term for a Jewish person at the time. Her daughter is oppressed by a demon, an impure spirit, not exactly sure what it is, and she knows that Jesus is in town, and she's come to ask him to heal her. What would you do? If your child were ill and a famous doctor was on vacation in town, wouldn't you go and, even if you were being importunate, disturb said doctor and tell her, I need you, my child is sick, you're a famous doctor, you cure these things, please come? Wouldn't you do that? Seems reasonable. How she knew he was there, we don't know, but that's one of the things in Mark's gospel. It keeps recurring. Jesus doesn't want anyone to know what he's doing or where he is, and people always find out right away. So she's found out, and here she is outing him, if you understand what I mean. There he is, the famous rabbi, and she puts it to him. And he gives her an answer that's quite shocking. The children need to be filled. Not give the children's bread to the dogs. What? What children? What bread? I know your text says food, but the word in Greek is bread. What bread? What children? What bread? What dogs? Well, Jesus is sent to the children of Israel, the lost ones of Israel, he says in several different places. So that's clearly in opposition to these Gentiles here in enemy territory. Their bread is his mission, what he's doing. And the dogs are, well, Syro-Phoenician women, among others. Really, is that what he says? From a doctrinal point of view, as we know, the woman upbraids him and changes his mind. From a doctrinal point of view, it's possible because we believe that Jesus is truly, fully human. It's a kind of biblical quantum physics, you know. In quantum physics, you look at a particle, you look at it one way, and suddenly it turns into a wave if you look at it another way. Well, Jesus is human, truly one of us, if you look at the Bible one way, truly divine at the same time if you look at it in another way. Did God's Son insult this woman gratuitously? In medieval illuminations of this scene, she's on her knees and he's got his back turned to her. Is that what's really going on? Well, it could be a good explanation, I suppose. Jesus is totally wrong. He's narrow-minded, and he needs a correction. After all, he was wrong in other times. For instance, he said the mustard seed is the smallest of all seeds. Well, it's not. Sorry. In those days, that's what they thought, but we know better. Okay, so I mean, he can be wrong. He gets angry. He has a sense of humor. You know, he gets depressed. He's a human being. He's one of us. At the same time, he's also God with us, who has come to be with us, to die with us, that we might live with him, with God. Okay, so that's one way of looking at it. But I think, take a little bit deeper look. The woman is there, and she understands what he says. She doesn't need a whole theological explanation from your bishop, for instance, to understand what it is that Jesus is saying. What her reply to him is, even the dogs eat the crumbs from underneath the children's table. And, you know, when your children eat at the table with the dog in the house, what are they doing? They're slipping the dog some food. And he says, Matthew says in the same version of the story that he's amazed, but Mark doesn't. He just says, you can go home now, your daughter's fine, because of your faith. What she has actually said to him is, you think your mission is over when you're finished with Israel, but why are you here in Tyre? You're here now. God's mission doesn't have boundaries. God's mission does not make distinctions. 30-some years later, St. Paul summed it up in writing to the Galatians, saying that in Christ there is no Jew or Greek, there is no slave or free, there is no male or female. And this is what I think we need to hear from this. Because, you know, he probably was there with at least two or three of his closest disciples. They needed to hear this. They needed to hear this, and we need to hear this. There isn't any time to wait for the mission of God to be accomplished among us before we have to take it elsewhere in foreign territory. Foreign to us, not foreign to God. And the time is now. So we're going to confirm Colin over there, the one looking anxious. But Victoria will hold him up, so I know he'll be fine. He's going to proclaim to us publicly that he rejects evil and that he puts his trust in the grace of Jesus Christ to give him life with God. He's not just going to say this to you and to your bishop. He's saying it to the whole communion of saints, which includes the woman of Tyre. She's there too. And we will lay hands on him, anoint him with oil of chrism, the oil of baptism. I know you've been baptized, but I like to add on. It's just peculiar that way. And pray for the Spirit to strengthen Colin so that he can do the work God has given him to do. Exact same thing for each one of us today, and for you as St. Augustine, and for all of us as the church. The mission is now. The time is now. The work needs to be done without any distinctions of class or race or nation or boundaries. It's right outside the door. It's to the ends of the earth. Outside those doors right now, people are hurting. People are sick, like the little girl. People have lost hope, like a lot of people. And people are dying. And guess who God is sending? Us. Time is now, no distinctions. Let's get on with it. Can I get an amen?